Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, everybody. It's Leading Off with True Blue LA. This is Eric Steven, and with me is Jacob Birch, because it's time today for a Dodgers Rewind. Jacob, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm here to mostly listen and learn and learn all sorts of trivia about this player and then forget it when you ask me, you know, 1 week later or whatever.
Yeah, I'm going to undoubtedly ask you multiple questions about this person. I will say this before we start. What do you know about Tom Pishorek?
Nothing.
Really? Okay. So I think there's an age thing here where when I grew up, I did not see Tom Pishorek play on the Dodgers. It was in the 70s. But when I grew up, he was prevalent on calling White Sox games. He was the analyst on WGN. And back in the 80s and early 90s, it was like there wasn't like a strong national TV presence and every game wasn't on TV. So you just took baseball when you can get it. And the Cubs and the Braves were on Superstations, and the White Sox also were on the WGN Superstation in Chicago. So a lot of people had that channel. So a lot of Cubs games, a lot of White Sox games, a lot of Braves games, in addition to your local team. So I did see a lot of games with him. And I'll just get into it. I wanted to do this because the Dodgers are playing the White Sox, or they were last week. And so that's what sort of got me into this. So Tom Pishorek played the first 6 years of his 18-year career with the Dodgers. He also played 4 years with the White Sox. Like I said, I grew up listening to him on and watching him, I guess, on WGN. The Dodgers got him, Tom Pishorek, in the 1968. They drafted him in the fifth round. Now, that is widely considered the best single year of drafting by any major league team ever. The Dodgers, in the regular draft that year, that June, Bobby Valentine in the first round, who they ended up trading later, and he was obviously hurt a lot, so didn't really pan out. Bill Buckner in the second round, Joe Ferguson in the eighth round, Doyle Alexander in the ninth round, they ended up trading him for Frank Robinson. Doyle Alexander, fascinating career, pitched a lot in the majors, was really good, but also bookended his career, first traded as a young pitcher for Hall of Famer Frank Robinson, and then as a veteran pitcher, traded for rookie and future Hall of Famer John Smoltz. So fun thing for him. But then there were also different types of drafts back then. There was the June secondary draft, which no longer exists. I don't think it's been around since like 86. They got Steve Garvey and Ron Say in that. In the January secondary draft, they got Davey Lopes and a pitcher named Jeff Zahn, who pitched like, I think, like 15 years in the majors. He was really good. Now, Hawk Harrelson on WGN always called Tom Pishorek wimpy. I had assumed Harrelson made that nickname up. He's the guy who coined the Big Hurt. He was pretty prolific in terms of like nicknames, and just that was his sort of personality. However, that's not the case. It existed long before Hawk Harrelson started calling him that. It was because of Tommy Lasorda. So in the book, the great book of Los Angeles sports lists by Steve Hartman and Matt Money Smith, both are local radio hosts in Los Angeles. In the book, they sort of describe it. It says Pishorek was one of the star minor league players of the late 1960s, managed by Tommy Lasorda. And it was Lasorda who gave Pishorek the nickname that stayed with him for 40 years. It all stemmed from a night out with his minor league teammates when everyone ordered steak for dinner and Pishorek chose a hamburger. Lasorda called him Wimpy after the Popeye character, and the nickname stuck. So that's a fun nickname. Baseball needs better nicknames. I will point out he was Sporting News Minor League Player of the Year in like 1971 in AAA with the Dodgers. So he played high school baseball and football. He was a defensive back in Michigan and then went to college at the University of Houston. He was actually picked ninth in the ninth round of the NFL draft in 1968 by the Dolphins. He did not play in the NFL. He went to baseball. He had two brothers play in the majors as well. Jim is the younger of the three Pishorek major leaguers. He was 14 years younger than Tom Pishorek, and he played 48 games for the 87 Brewers. He played all four corner spots, first, third, left, right. That was his only season in the majors. Then John Pishorek is only 1 year older than Tom, but he debuted a good 7 years earlier. It was in 1963 at age 18. So it was the last game of the season. That was the second year for the Colt 45s, which later became the Astros. They brought him up. He was 3-for-3 with 2 walks and 4 runs scored in that game. So the plan with him was going to be the Houston starting center fielder the next year. But he had a back injury in his rookie year, and it ended up getting worse in the offseason. This is from the Baseball Reference bullpen. The back pain was so bad he couldn't bend over. He was sent to the minors where he struggled badly and had to undergo spinal fusion surgery, which put him out of action for all of 1965. By the time he recovered, the back problems had led to chronic arm problems and pulled hamstrings, and he never regained his batting stroke. So, John Pishorek, his only career game, ended up going 3-for-3, and he reached base all 5 times at the plate. So through Tuesday, there's 118 players in Major League history with a 1,000 career batting average. 103 of them only had one at bat. 14 of them had 2 at bats. The only person to go 3-for-3 in Major League history is John Pishorek.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. And then, but Tom, so he debuted in 1970. Back to the brothers for a second, though. I was sort of, I don't know, there's always something that comes up. This is just distasteful and / infuriating. And this is one of the things. So Pishorek, 2002, he came out publicly and said he and 3 of his brothers were molested by a priest in the Detroit area in Catholic school growing up. This is from the Associated Press account. He and his brothers had kept the abuse secret even from each other until the early 1980s when Michael Pishorek, the 4th of 5 boys in the family, started making comments about Shirilla. Now, the priest was Gerald Shirilla, the person in question here. Now, Tom Pishorek filed a complaint in 1993, the same time as another lawsuit was filed against this priest. More from the Associated Press. Pishorek said, I was molested by him for a period of 4 years. I would refer to them as attacks. I would say there was at least 100 of them. Good Lord. So now Shirilla was removed from public ministry in 1993, I guess when that lawsuit came out, but then statute of limitations, like I don't think anything came of it, like legally. He was removed from public ministry, but like still around in the church in 2002 when more people started coming forward. And I think that's when Pishorek sort of opened up publicly, at least about this. And just such an infuriating, like, just ordeal to go through, obviously. But then one of the things that stuck with me is in the Associated Press article, Pishorek said, like, growing up, he thought nobody would believe him. So, like, that's why he never came out. And that's, you see that, like, so often. It's just terrible. But yeah, so, like, you know, I don't, there's no real way to, like, make someone whole after that. But you just hope that, like, by sharing the information, that it leads to fewer and fewer, and hopefully never, none of these events going forward. But yeah, just terrible to go through that. But yeah, that's the sort of Tom Pishorek upbringing. But you know, he did make his major league debut with the Dodgers in 1970. He only played sparingly for his first 3 years. He only got into 21 games in the majors. But then he was a sort of an occasional starter for the next 3 years. He played like all three outfield spots plus a little bit of first base. He played four games in the 1974 postseason, three times as a pinch hitter, once as a pinch runner. He singled in game three of the NLCS against the Pirates. He doubled and scored in game five of the World Series. That was part of a tying rally in the sixth inning. But the Dodgers lost that game 3-2, and they lost the series 4-1. That series was weird. The Dodgers lost in five games to the A's, but four of the games were 3-2, and the other one was 3-1. It was just like this ridiculously low-scoring series, and every game was close, and it seemingly every close game went the A's way, almost. But parts of 6 years with the Dodgers, Tom Pishorek, .237 with a .282 on base, .351 slugging, a .79 OPS plus, in about 616 plate appearances, roughly one full year. He had 29 doubles, 8 home runs, 6 triples. So, you know, reasonably productive for a bench player, although not much of a hitter. So he was, after 75, he was part of a package sent to the Braves in November that year, along with Jim Wynn, who was a previous Dodgers Rewind. Lee Lacy, I don't believe, has been a Dodgers Rewind. We should do Lee Lacy at some point. And Jerry Royster. They got sent to the Braves. The Dodgers got Dusty Baker and Ed Goodson. Pishorek ended up playing 12 more seasons. He became more of a regular once he left the Dodgers. He played for the Braves, the Mariners, the White Sox, the Mets, and the Rangers. And he was sort of, he settled more into being more of a first baseman / corner outfielder. And then the last 12 years of his career, he had 106 OPS plus. He averaged 321 plate appearances, 17 doubles, 6 homers. So he was just around for a while. Now, he had one very good game in a game he didn't even start. This is this was May 8th, 1984, against the Brewers. This is from Tyler Kepner in the New York Times, recounting it 30 years later in 2014. Tom Pishorek, veteran outfielder and first baseman, thought he had the night off. Early in the game, he ordered a pizza from Conine's and had it delivered to the umpire's room. As he chowed down with the other bench players, he said, a bat boy burst in. Ron Kittle had come out of the game with shin splints. He says, hey, Wimpy, you've got to go bat for Kittle. First of all, great that the bat boy is comfortable enough with calling him Wimpy. But so Pishorek said, using his nickname, I said, when is he up? And he said, he was up next. So I go sprinting through the umpire's room, through our clubhouse, grab a bat, pizza sauce all over my shirt. I go up there against Don Sutton, and he punched me out on 3 straight pitches. I said, Kittle, you could have done that yourself. So Pishorek, he ended up, despite that strikeout, he had himself a good game. He had an RBI single in the sixth for the first run of the game overall. He reached on an error in the ninth, part of a 2-run rally to tie the game. We go into extra innings, and then this is when it just sort of gets started. He singled in the 11th. He gets stranded. He was intentionally walked with a runner on second and two outs in the 13th. He singled in the 18th, got stranded again. The White Sox were down 6-3 in the bottom of the 21st. They scored a run that inning, and then Pashorek singled in two more runs to tie it again, so it kept going. He singled in the 23rd inning and was stranded again. He was on deck in the 25th inning when Harold Baines hit a walk-off home run. So it was a 25-inning game, the longest in American League history. Pashorek ended up going 5-for-9 with three runs batted in, a walk, and a run. So I think at the time it was called the Major League record for hits by a player who didn't start. But I think looking back, if you do a play index search now, there is a second baseman on the Philadelphia A's named Danny Murphy in a 1902 game. Got six hits in a game he didn't start, but essentially modern. I know 1902 is technically modern, but for the last over 100 years, for a guy who didn't start, he had five hits, so that's pretty good. But then after his playing career, like I mentioned, Pashorek was a broadcaster, not just White Sox. He also did some Tigers, Mariners, Braves, and Nationals. He was inducted into the College Baseball Hall of Fame in 2016, same class as Rick Monday, who played at ASU that year. And then he was also inducted into the National Polish-American Sports Hall of Fame in 1992.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, Tom Pashorek, because this is a sort of Dodgers-White Sox link-up, he played 264 games with the Dodgers, 376 games with the White Sox. He's one of seven players with at least 200 games with both teams. How many of the other six can you name, Jacob?
I was thinking about this because I peeked ahead, and maybe more than any other team, I just was blanking on... I don't know if it's because they are always in the Cubs' shadow or what it is, but so the only name that I'm 99.9% confident about is Yasmani Grandal.
No, because what? He hasn't had 200 games yet.
What? Yeah. 2020 is screwing me up. I'm gonna look.
It really is. He's this is his third year there, and but yeah, it's the. He was hurt a lot of last year. He's at 185.
Stupid. That's I said 99 for him. Like, surely. I'm gonna look this up. 189. That basically so counts.
Two of the six are only two of the six are in the Jacob era.
That was the only name I could. You have any hints for me? Do you have any hints? Otherwise, I'm on a.
One of these people wore in the 150 game answer list. in the 80s, 1981 to 88 for the Dodgers. Won Rookie of the Year.
Steve Sachs?
Yeah.
Hey, that was I'm like, primarily think of him as Dodgers Yankees, but I was like,
I had actually forgotten about Steve Sachs playing for the White Sox. I know he left as a free agent to go to the Yankees after '88, but then ultimately finished up with the White Sox. He was hurt a little bit, and then but I had forgotten about Steve Sachs as a White Sox, which he was the one that really made me think about this. So.
I'm gonna tap out, but before I do that, I want to note two things that I'm very happy because there were two names that I was like, vaguely in the punch bowl as at least having played for both teams. And again, I don't think either would hit the 200 game mark either way. So one was Hoyt Wilhelm, and I'm very proud that that was correct. And then the other one, it felt like a fever dream, was a well-known White Sox, Scott Pesednik. And I was like, was he a Dodger? Did that happen?
He was.
Was that a fever dream of like the weird middle 2000s, the aught stint? And it was. So I have a question for you on that before you tell me how wrong I was on that. Do you, how much of the transaction to acquire Scott Pesednik do you remember?
So I was thinking about this. As soon as you said his name, I remember the Dodgers acquiring him. For the life of me, I can't tell you the year at all. Although, okay, so some context clues. He was in the World Series. He had a walk-off home run in the World Series in 05 for the White Sox. So it would have had to be like in that like 07 weird year where they also had like David Wells. I don't remember. What team did they get him from?
Yeah, that's one thing I was wondering. The Kansas City Royals.
Yeah. Oh. Wait. Would it have been? Was that part of the Odalis Perez dump?
Nope.
Yeah. Then I got nothing.
So 2010 from the Royals.
Oh, so it's Juan Pierre.
Nope. Lucas,
no, he was waiting.
It was a they only thing for the Dodgers was Scott Pesednik,
Lucas May,
and Elisol Pimentel.
Wow, that's me asking you.
Yeah.
So I'll just say the first name on the earliest name on this Dodgers White Sox list, Fielder Jones, who played for the Dodgers from 1896 to 1900, and the White Sox from 1901 to 1908.
All right. So give me the other names. I'm curious.
Wait, I'm just going to look because his name is Fielder Jones. He was a center fielder. So at least he lived up to his name.
Yeah.
He wasn't a baseman. He was a fielder. Okay. So going through the Brooklyn years, Jack Fournier in the teens with the White Sox and then the 20s with Brooklyn. Tom Pashorek, obviously. Jay Johnstone, funny man / Naked Gun actor. He played like all over. Then the earliest one after Sax was Juan Pierre. 2007 to 2009 with the Dodgers. 2010, 2011 with the White Sox. And then teammate on the he was a teammate. No, I have these years incorrect. I was trying to link them up and I was wrong in both cases. They were opposites. But Juan Uribe went the other way. White Sox first, Dodgers second. Yeah, that's the list. So
no.
How fun. Yeah.
Thank you for the rewind, Eric.
Thank you for the Scott Pesednik memory lane issue. That was fun. But anyway, that's our Dodgers Rewind today. Tom Pashorek, thank you for listening, everybody. We will be back with you tomorrow. ¶¶